Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives, as usual. And, Jim, there's a lot of tight Senate races out there. Most of them, of course, held by Democrats, so the fact that they're close at all means that Republicans have a good chance of picking them up. One that is increasingly looking good is the state of Iowa. Most of the recent polls between Republican Joni Ernst and Democrat Bruce Braley have literally been dead even, not just in the margin of error, but dead even. But a new survey from the Des Moines Register shows that Ernst now has a 6-point lead, 44% to 38%. Not only that, she's got a 4-1 lead with rural voters, and perhaps most importantly, she's up double digits among independents. And when you look at that 44 to 38, they'd pretty much been deadlocked around 43-44%. So it could be a dissatisfaction with the Democrat more than anything else. But either way, good news for Joni Ernst and good news for a possible Republican majority.
That really is good news, Greg. And I got to point out, this is the kind of result that I love, because remember when over in Colorado, the last really nice, surprising poll for Republicans that had Cory Gardner up by 8?
Yes.
After everything had been neck and neck. When I see a poll result that's almost too good for the guy that I'm hoping to see win, I get a little nervous. I figure, okay, it's got to be a bad sample. There's no way it's suddenly, you know, barring some sudden development of news. And then you start thinking, okay, did they apply a likely voter screen here? Was it a strange sample? What's going on? You know, going from neck and neck to Joni Ernst up 6 is within the realm of possibility. What's more is it seems like Bruce Braley has just a very – Democrats are becoming increasingly open about saying he's not the candidate they were hoping for. He's a little bit more clumsy on the stump, and kind of a fun, good example of this. So apparently – Bruce Braley and his wife had a certain property that they owned. They had a neighbor that raised chickens. And one day the neighbor went over, this is at Holiday Lake in Iowa, went over one day to offer Carolyn, Bruce Braley's wife, a dozen fresh eggs. To which she said, her neighbor replied, "We aren't going to accept your eggs, and we have filed a formal complaint against you." That was apparently the first time they'd met. Now, I imagine having chickens crapping on your lawn might be an unpleasant experience. There are a lot of ways you can deal with this, short of one, getting very hostile. Secondly, she did try to give you some eggs, right? I mean, these are not, you know, nasty, terrible people. It's where you say, hey, can we arrange something so that your chickens don't end up on my lawn or something like that. Instead, Bruce Braley calls up the Holiday Lake board, and then according to someone on the board, this is an email from them, "The implication for Mr. Braley was that he wants to avoid a litigious situation and believes strongly that chickens are not pets and should not be permitted at Holiday Lake." So remember that phrase, avoid a litigious situation. So they had a debate Sunday night. Joni Ernst takes a very deserved, easy layup of a shot against Braley by saying, "Look, you're talking about bipartisanship. How do we expect as Iowans to believe that you will work across the aisle when you can't even walk across your yard?" And the crowd kind of goes, ooh. Braley's response, "It's just not true. I never threatened to sue anyone." Which is just flat out not like, unless in his mind, you know, saying I want to avoid a litigious situation isn't implying a threat to sue someone. What does he think litigious situation is? Anyway, so once again, the guy's dishonest. It sounds like they're neighbors from hell, and they just, you know, likeability counts for it. We've got a very strong candidate in Iowa, Joni Ernst, who's just completed some National Guard service. Exactly the kind of person you'd, you know, kind of admire as a good American. And Bruce Braley just comes across as this jerk who looks down on farmers and is apparently a pain in the tuchus to live next to.
Yeah, he's not even winning his own district. That's always a good sign, too.
Well, they know him best, Greg.
Exactly right. All right, on to the bad martini now. And President Obama appeared once again on 60 Minutes with Steve Croft last night. And the topic of ISIS, of course, came up. And here's the exchange that has a lot of people talking today. Steve Croft trying to say, how is it that this massive threat just suddenly emerged onto the scene?
How did they end up where they are in control of so much territory? Was that a complete surprise to you?
Well, I think our head of the intelligence community, Jim Clapper, has acknowledged that I think they underestimated what had been taking place in Syria.
Jim, every time something goes right, this president throws more I, me's, and my's out there than you can imagine. When something doesn't go right, you never hear that word, and he's throwing the intelligence community under the bus, who couldn't be there because he refused to sign a status of forces agreement.
There's that aspect of the debate. I would also note there's public testimony of figures in our national security agencies talking about the threat of ISIS in January. Okay, so this is nothing classified. This is nothing secret. Publicly, they were talking about ISIS in January. This was right around the time that President Obama was referring to them as the JV team.
Right.
So for him to all of a sudden use that convenient pronoun, they underestimated. Also note that Clapper's statement was not actually about ISIS. It was that we overestimated the Iraqi army's ability to fight. Kropp actually kind of calls him out on that and says, well, actually, you know, he's talking about the other side of the equation, the Iraqi army's ability to defend itself and defend their country. And you're talking about ISIS. Eli Lake has a member of the intelligence community saying that either he's not reading his briefings or he's BSing, and he uses, you know, different words for that. But you get the idea. This is what we've come to expect from this president in a lot of ways, that this is a guy who never admits he made a mistake. What he's really looking at here, and I talk a bit about this in the Jolt, and I think that, you know, this may be really a dominant topic of debate in the year to come, is the entire Obama approach to Iraq was, we can withdraw and the consequences of the United States won't be so bad. And in fact, remember the entire debate of 2007, 2008 was, what is a precipitous withdrawal? McCain is gonna keep us there for 100 years. Obama and the Democrats could withdraw our forces responsibly. And here we are. And we got to ask the question, you know, I think it's very tough to argue that we withdrew our forces responsibly because we find ourselves in the mess that we're in right now. So what Obama is, you know, inadvertently admitting here is that his entire approach to Iraq going back to 2007 has been wrong. And once again, the obvious scapegoat is the intelligence community, except it appears the intelligence community is not so eager to take the blame for this one.
Yeah, nor should they be. Unbelievable. Well, the big Democratic news over the weekend, of course, is that the Clinton grandbaby has arrived, and I'm sure she will be on the campaign trail quite a bit in the next couple of years. But not just content to think of what the former first family thinks of this wonderful news for Chelsea and her husband. For some reason, we had to find out what astrologers think is the future for young Charlotte Clinton Mezvinsky. And they not only asked one, they asked several, at least in this Politico story. First, we have a woman named Ophira from the Astro Twins, who says she may not follow her family's politics, but she will follow the family's activism and social justice and finding a way to serve the world, following in that community organizing path and picking up the roots of her grandparents. Another one says that she's a Libra, so she's geared towards relationships and getting along. One said she'll make a great lawyer or judge one day. Others say, no, she'll spend more time in finance. Another one says she's going to have a lot of fun with Bill, but she'll have a very powerful emotional connection with Hillary. Jim, can't we just let them have a baby?
Well, my own little wrinkle to this story, Greg, is that on, you know, so, you know, wake up Saturday, check Twitter, the world is reacting. Oh, the Clinton, you know, Chelsea Clinton had her baby and all that stuff. And the word, obviously, is that the child had been named Charlotte, not Raleigh, as I initially expected. So I say, you know, coming soon to DC media, does naming the granddaughter Charlotte give Hillary Clinton an edge in winning North Carolina in 2016? Meant to parody or meant to make fun of the obsessive Hillary coverage and the 2016 discussion that dominates so much of DC media. Andrew Kuzju, the guy from BuzzFeed, paraphrases me in a way that concludes his followers to believe I'm asking that question seriously. So naturally, you big dummy, blah, 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 you know, all kinds of nasty responses come my way. I would say next time, Andrew, just retweet me verbatim so that people don't think that I am what I am attempting to mock. So you know, happy, you know, congratulations to the Mezvinsky Clinton family. I hope they all have a wonderful time with their new child. I've made a lot of, spent a lot of pixels critiquing Chelsea Clinton for the constant praise that gets thrown her way. She and her husband and her new daughter deserve plenty of time away from the spotlight to enjoy themselves, as well as the Clintons, and hopefully I assume the Politico coverage was meant in jest and meant kind of tongue in cheek. But with Politico, it's increasingly hard to tell, isn't it, Greg?
You never know. I'm out for the next week. I will talk to you next Tuesday.
Looking forward to it, Greg. Hope everything turns out well with you. Looking forward to chatting with Brett tomorrow.
Very good. Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to join Jim and Brett Winterbull starting Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.